the man who was there, Luke Elvey of Canmore, for the CBS broadcast team. Luke, how was the greatest place on earth for the last 5-6 days?
I don't know how we sum it up and do it justice, to be honest, Ryan. It's one of those things that you can choose any word you like, any superlative, and you just still don't think it's going to do it completely justice, because it was mesmerizing. I've called it the greatest comeback, or the comeback of the century was the term I've used. You know, is that overplaying it? Is it underplaying it? Is it right on the money? I don't know. But what it was a moment I'll never forget.
I remember chatting with you at a Christmas party, I want to say 2 or 3 winters ago, and I'd asked you about Tiger, and you said, no, like, I think this is going to happen. And I was kind of like, no way, you can't be buying this. Like, how many surgeries and how many failed comebacks until this guy finally pulls the chute? I remember, you know, a promotional event, he couldn't even hit a wedge 90 yards over a body of water. He, you know, plunked 3 in a row in the drink. It's like, how is this human formerly the best player in the world, and from those great depths, he's back, a fifth green jacket? I mean, take us back to the darkest, deepest spot, because there's the personal life stuff, but health-wise, he couldn't pick up his kids for a while.
He couldn't get out of bed. He actually needed assistance to get out of his bed to go to the bathroom. There was a time, apparently, when he was found on the floor trying to crawl to the bathroom to simply go to the toilet. That's how bad he was. You know, we can talk about the infidelities, the 2 stints in rehab for sex addiction and prescription medication addiction, the 4 back surgeries, the Achilles injury, everything that's gone on in his life. The fact that he's been able to pick himself literally up off the floor to stand at the very top of the game again, it's mesmerizing, and only Tiger could have done it. I don't think there's another person in the game that could have done what Tiger's done. And the fact that now he is where he is again, I truly expect that he's going to use this to go on beat Jack's record. Everyone's going to go, please, now you're talking 19-plus majors. I'm like, yes, I am. That's exactly what I'm saying. He's that kind of guy. His best is better than everyone else's best. He knows how to win the big champions. Chips, just like Jack knew how to win them. And now that he's got the confidence behind him after this one, just look out.
Incredible, incredible stuff. The one that won me over last year, I was playing hard to get. The major performances were nice. What was it, the U.S. and the British, or the U.S. and there's 2 of the
no,
4 majors?
It was the British at Carnoustie and the PGA, where he finished runner-up to Brooks Koepka at Reeve and St. Louis.
So those two. It was like, wow, like these are the best fields on the most difficult challenges the sport has to offer, and he's right there. But then he wins the Tour Championship, which is everyone that is good and left in terms of the FedEx Cup. Like, that is a field of fields. Final event of the year, big dough. He wins that one, and that's, to me, where the comeback was completed in many ways. But to get the next major, I suppose, he wasn't on the peak, but now it's that final few steps. Now he's planted his flag in the top of Everest. Is that fair?
Yes, because that Tour Championship victory was massive for his confidence, and told him or confirmed to him that he could win again. But it was only against 30 players. And yes, they were the best players of that year, and that's a big deal, and I get it. But this is a major. It's just another level. It's the biggest major. It's the one that everyone talks about with such reverence. And it's the first major of the year. And after coming so close at those 2 majors, as we discussed, to be able to come out and win the first one of the new year, when Rory was back, when DJ was playing great, when Francesco Molinari looked so good, when all these big names like Brooks Koepka and Justin Thomas, and, I mean, we can go through almost the entire world's top 10, but going hard and playing flat out, he beat them. And yeah, he beat them by playing near flawless golf when it mattered. And that's what he does in these big championships, and that's what he's done, because he's better than everyone else. And he knows it in his mind. And that's why I'm truly expecting him to go on a bit of a run. We're going to Bethpage in a month's time. He won there in 2002. We're going to Pebble Beach in 2 months' time for the US Open. He won there by 15 shots. He's got this mental lint in these places of winning, of success. And after winning the major that's just happened, I won't be surprised if he picks up another one this year. I truly won't.
It's incredible. Incredible stuff. Well, how did this week unfold for you? Thursday, Friday, Saturday to Sunday. Just take us through the evolution. Evolution's the wrong word, but take us day by day to where he's at and where you think, you know, mentally he was. Because to be just a couple back heading into Sunday, that's a dangerous spot for Tiger to be lurking.
Right.
That he didn't go wire to wire. That's how he's done a lot of these things.
Well, he's never come from behind to win a major. This is the first time it's ever happened. That's another big factor in this story. He'd never chased down someone to win a major when he was in his prime. Yes, he lost one when he was leading against Wei Yang there at Hazeltine in 2009, but he chased someone down to win it. And not someone, just someone, but the best players in the world that have been playing the greatest golf. He did it. He dragged them back in, and the ball striking was there. What people have seen in the last, let's say, 12 months is that his iron play is back to being right up there as the best in the world. That was his absolute strength. It's a second shot golf course, Augusta National. When he hits his irons well, he's got the distance control lined up. He's got these 10 to 15 footers or inside for birdie or heaven forbid eagle going on. That's what Tiger does. And you could see that in his, you know, he ended up topping the greens in regulation statistic this week. But his putting started to come back as well. And that match play competition sort of toughened him up a bit in that respect. And when he missed that short putt against Lucas Bjerregaard in the match play in that quarterfinal that sort of stopped Tiger advancing to the final day or the main part of the tournament, I think he thought to himself, all right, I've got to go fix this because that's the only thing that's holding me back from winning this green jacket. And he did. He, you know, went and practiced diligently back at his house where he's got those four putting greens. He's got them stimping at 14, 15, like Augusta National. He was all prepared. And he'd done everything right, ready for this moment. You could see it evolve throughout the course of the tournament that he was on. And he knew it. He just needed a bit of fortune to go his way, which he got there at number 12 when four of the last six players rinsed it in Ray's Creek. But then once he got a piece of the lead, he didn't look back. Those two shots he hit into 15, which is one of the two holes I cover, were near flawless. And then that tee shot at 16 just sealed the deal when he had a one-shot lead. The great players step up when it matters. Even Brooks Koepka left it on the top shelf on 16 when he was right amongst the lead. But Tiger didn't falter, and that says a lot. It says an absolute lot to me.
So take us to the headspace of Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy, you know, I guess what, Thomas Fowler, Spieth, Rahm, this great young generation of amazing golfers that grew up on Tiger, never really saw it until, what, midway through last year. Is he starting to get some of that Sunday red swagger back where he can intimidate opponents, or is that still to be proven? Because I don't know that Molinari is the perfect example of that kid being an Italian and you're not being in his young 20s.
Right. I absolutely feel he's going to get some of that swagger back, that they'll start to see it's Tiger and realize that, my gosh, but what it's going to do is going to inspire them to go to another level again, to work harder. They seem to be quite happy, this generation of players, of everyone sharing the limelight, having a moment of, like, you're the major champion, you're the world number one, you're the current best player in the game. They seem to just share it round. Or they get there and they have that 6 months at the helm of the game and then they let it go, where Tiger never did that. He just kept working harder and harder and harder to get better. And now that he's here, they're thinking, oh, God, he's only going to work harder and harder and harder again, so should I. So I think that's going to happen, and you'll see, you know, outstanding performances from a lot of people, but that period of dominance, I just don't think we're going to see it from anyone else but Tiger. I think he'll get to number one in the world. It'll be all these things that come with it, which is just enormous for the sport. We're basically going to get another 20 years of... inspired to play the game, money injected into the sport, huge ratings, all these things because of Tiger now. He's doing it again like what he did in 1997.
Incredible. Thanks so much for joining us today. Great work on the broadcast. You deserve to be there broadcasting the biggest event in golf. And enjoy a little downtime, I hope, here in the next few days.
I will, mate. I'll enjoy it. Thank you for having me. And go Flames tonight. I know it's a big game. Fingers crossed our boys deliver.
Love it. Luke Alvey of Canmore, the Australian, part of CBS's broadcast team of the Masters. Incredible. He's, as he noted, had a couple-hole assignment there and got to watch Tiger coming down the stretch win his first major in a billion years? Yeah, feels like it, in over a decade. Incredible stuff.